Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. For the past few days, protesters in Puerto Rico have continued to surround Governor Ricardo Rosselló's residence, La Fortaleza, in San Juan, at times clashing with police. On Wednesday, celebrities like Latin trap artist Bad Bunny, singer Ile, and pop star Ricky Martin joined the protesters.
We're tired of the cynicism. They put down women. They put down the LGBT community. People with disabilities. Corruption. It is insane. We are tired. We can't take it anymore.
Puerto Ricans on the island and around the world are demanding that Governor Rosselló resign following a scandal over offensive text messages that included comments against journalists, women, and political opponents. The text scandal, which some have called WikiLeaks, comes days after the FBI indicted six former government officials and contractors on corruption charges, including money laundering. And the protests mark an ongoing frustration that's been building up for years, including a massive economic crisis and the fallout from Hurricane Maria. Here to help us make sense of it all are two journalists on the ground in Puerto Rico. I'm joined by David Begno, lead national correspondent at CBS This Morning, and Bianca Padro Ocasio is a reporter with the Miami Herald, and we welcome you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
David, we've covered this on the show, but a lot has happened over the last few days. Is Puerto Rico at a tipping point?
I think it's past a tipping point, but I think the context of it all is very important. As one woman said to me last night, the leaked chat messages was the final straw. This has been decades of corruption and mismanagement from multiple administrations. Look, Residente said last night, we're not exactly just targeting Rosselló. It just isn't about only him, right? But he's the guy there right now, right? You know, so many people have said to me, David, don't just let the reporting get caught up in the offensive chats. But I did see a lot of people last night who said, no. Let's talk about those offensive chats. You hear from the 70-year-old retired school teacher who was so profoundly offended. Ricky Martin, who was targeted with these remarks. I mean, the things that they said in these chats were disgusting, right? Making fun of the bodies piling up at the morgue. That's not an opinion. That's if you read it, it's disgusting. That's an observation within the reporting, right? So that's the context of the situation. I think Puerto Ricans would tell you we're beyond the tipping point, and that's why we're in the streets.
I mean, as a Puerto Rican woman myself, I've never seen this level of activism on the island and in the broader diaspora. Bianca, the turmoil in Puerto Rico has drawn the attention, as David mentioned, and we had at the top of the show, Ricky Martin was there, Bad Bunny, and others. What is their role? Are they a critical piece of the protest puzzle, in your opinion?
I think they absolutely have a lot of clout, not just in Puerto Rico, but in the diaspora. I think they made these calls to show up to protest. And, you know, Ricky Martin was one of the targets in this Telegram chat that was leaked. There were homophobic comments made against him and others. So, you know, what they say has a lot of weight. And even Residente, the rapper from the group Calle 13, he was in Old San Juan up until 2 a.m. with thousands of motorbikes that were entering Old San Juan. And I don't know if for those listeners who haven't been there, these are very narrow streets. They're cobblestone. So having thousands of motorbikes coming in at 2 a.m. when riot police are trying to disperse the area. It was pretty powerful to experience and witness some of that last night.
David, I was on the ground in during the protest in Ferguson in 2014, and I've noticed, at least on the surface here, some similarities between what we saw there in terms of rubber bullets and tear gas. What are you seeing in terms of how the law enforcement is interacting with the protesters right now?
Look, I will tell you this. It's always a hot button issue. There are people here in Puerto Rico who have long-standing resentment with the police. So some folks come into protest with the notion of the police are bad, the protesters are great, and the police come in thinking we're the right ones and the protesters are bad. Let me tell you exactly what we saw. Up until about 9 p.m., 10 p.m., everything was peaceful. It loud, unified, but peaceful. There were plastic water bottles that were thrown at police, and this went on for an hour. Four or five would be lobbed, and you'd have 10 minutes of nothing. Then four or five would be lobbed at toward police, then you'd have nothing. This went on and on, but the police never really got triggered. What was interesting, and if you look at the video, there was a moment where something appeared to be thrown from the protesters to the police, and off camera you see a flash. And then there's another piece of video that shows a police officer holding something in his hand that ignites. And all these fireworks start going off behind the police, on the police side. And so even this morning, journalists are still trying to figure out how did these firework-type devices get – let's say someone did throw one piece of firework from the protest side to the police. Well, there were more fireworks that went off. So why were there fireworks behind the police? What was that all about? So still trying to ascertain that. But that's what we saw happen last night.
Now, David, you've been covering this story for quite some time, and we mentioned the chat messages that were leaked by the Centro de Periodismo Investigativo in Puerto Rico here, 900 pages of them, and the media was part of that, and I believe you were one of the people who was mentioned in these chat messages. How has Rosselló responded to the media and specifically to your questions to him so far?
Well, it's interesting. Let me start with the latter. So we've been asking for a one-on-one interview, and he won't give it. He had a press conference, which we went to, and I had 8 questions for him. He answered every one of them. I wouldn't exactly call them answers, though. I would call them responses. One thing about Ricardo Rosselló is he falls on the sword about certain things. He will come right out and say it was shameful what I did, which is what he said. But he won't answer hypotheticals like, whose support do you have? What would it take for you to resign? Listen, you have to acknowledge when there are close to 100,000 people marching down narrow streets in a beautiful city that sits on a hill in the middle of the Caribbean, you have to acknowledge that is a game-changing, sit up, take notice, and maybe not do business as usual type of event. Now, he says that it's not business as usual, but if you look at his Twitter account, that he loves to tweet, he's having meetings that talk about anything but what is going on here. And the government was promoting this morning a cruise ship that arrived. They were like, oh, look, the cruise ship arrived, 6,000 people. Well, this is on the heels of the last 48 hours where a couple of cruise ships passed by the island because they didn't want to stop given the unrest. He does not want to sit down for an interview. That obviously would involve targeted questions. He's happy to say, I screwed up, I apologize. I haven't worried about it. I'm not trying to get an apology. This story is not about me. He can say whatever he wants. He has been on a bit of an apology tour, I'm told. But as it pertains to the media, I mean, listen, you know, politicians complain about the media. It's the price of doing business.
I'm speaking with journalists David Begno and Bianca Padro Ocasio about the political crisis in Puerto Rico. Bianca, we just learned that a new story from the Puerto Rico Center for Investigative Journalism published last night alleges that many of the people who are implicated in the chats have been involved in other contracts and diverting of public funds. Do we expect more heads to roll at this point?
I think the overall sentiment from Puerto Ricans, especially on the heels of what happened yesterday, is that this is going to keep going. No one thinks that this is the end of it. No one thinks that the 6 indictments of former government officials is the last of it, because this is a moment where the open secret of government corruption is now actually undeniable. So to actually have people in the chat and have evidence that there was something fishy going on while Puerto Rico was negotiating hurricane recovery funds, while Puerto Rico was negotiating Medicaid funds, I think to people it's shocking, because now there's no way of denying it. But this is something that, to put it in context, as one woman said to me last night, this is not just about Ricardo Rosselló. This is about an ongoing crisis of corruption that has been hidden from the public, even though everyone kind of knew about it. So, you know, it was an excellent report that the Centro de Periodismo Investigativo did last night that they released amid all the protests. And Elías Sánchez is not expected to be the only one to be connected to the scandal.
David, we've seen a number of senior members in the Rosselló administration already resign in the wake of the scandal. Question for you now. If Governor Rosselló himself resigns or is impeached, what is the line in succession here? I mean, what would happen next?
It would be the Secretary of State Lieutenant Governor. But guess what? He resigned effective yesterday. And that was a bit of a circus. So he resigned this past weekend, and we were told he was out. And then on Monday, we were told, well, he's actually staying till the end of the month. And then yesterday, we were told, oh, no, he's out. The transition's done. He's gone. So that is the line of succession. The Secretary of, in Puerto Rico, the Secretary of State is also the Lieutenant Governor. But the position's vacant. So there's, you know, kind of a placeholder. So, you know, what I'm being told is that the party officials are trying to figure out who fills that, you know, working with the governor to figure out who fills that spot. In case Rosselló does end up vacating the office, the big question is they want to get in the person they like, right? That's what I'm hearing is some of the back channel discussions. But listen, let's be clear. The governor is not for one moment signaling he has any thoughts of leaving. I mean, I texted a spokesperson last night in the middle of the protest, and I said, given everything that's going on now, what you're seeing on television, has the governor's resolve to remain in office changed in any way? And I was told, absolutely not. He was elected. He's staying. That's it.
So we got about a minute left in the segment, David, and I'm curious if we've seen any response from the United States so far to this, specifically President Trump, and whether or not we're expecting even
good
more
question.
Protest.
Yeah, good question. So Trump has not tweeted about it, which is very telling. He goes off on things Puerto Rico related. We did get a statement from the White House that essentially said, we told you so.
And are we expecting more protests in the days to come? Is there a sense that this is just going to keep going until there's any change?
We haven't heard of another big one like the one last night, but I would not be surprised. And don't forget the protests that are popping up in New York City and Austin and Miami and Orlando and Seattle.
And we've seen some around the world as well. Bianca, any last words on the hashtag Ricky Renuncia? We've got about 30 seconds to go.
I think protesters are promising, and especially after last night, that they will keep showing up. Like David said, we haven't heard any big protests going on, but this is not something that is going to go away so easily.
David Begno is lead national correspondent for CBS This Morning, and Bianca Padro Ocasio is a reporter with the Miami Herald and El Nuevo Herald. Thanks to you both for joining us. And we'll hear more from Puerto Ricans on the mainland about the situation after the break.